This is The Radical Therapist, a space where we explore the intersections of collaborative therapy, philosophy, art, and science and technology in a post-Freud, post-psychology world.
Welcome to The Radical Therapist. This is episode number 63, and I am Chris Hoff. And as always, thanks for tuning in. And we have a special episode for you today. I'm very excited to be in conversation with Kelly Waterman about really an insider's perspective of the Hearing Voices Network and an insider's perspective of dealing with our mental health systems. And this is a must listen, I think, for all of us. I know we have a lot of clinicians, therapists, social workers, counselors, etc., that listen to this show. And this is a great opportunity for all of us to really learn about people's experiences of the systems, our mental health systems, the systems they find themselves in, and the systems that we're a part of. So, and the systems that I think a lot of people who listen to this show are interested in impacting and changing, and bringing about different ways of doing things. So this is, I think, a very important episode, and I'm glad you're joining us. And I'm really grateful to Kelly Waterman for coming on and just really sharing her experience and just giving us all an education. So let's just get right into it, okay? And for those that aren't familiar with the Hearing Voices Network, according to the Hearing Voices Network USA website, at least, the Hearing Voices Network in the USA is one of over 20 nationally based networks around the world, joined by shared goals and values, incorporating a fundamental belief that there are many ways to understand the experience of hearing voices and other unusual or extreme experiences. It is part of an international collaboration between professionals, people with lived experience, and their families to develop an alternative approach to coping with emotional distress that is empowering and useful to people and does not start from the assumption that they have a chronic illness. And the goals of the Hearing Voices Network include raising awareness about voice hearing visions and other unusual or extreme experiences, supporting anyone who's had these experiences by providing opportunities to talk about them freely and without judgment amongst peers, supporting anyone who's had these experiences to explore, understand, learn, and grow from them in their own way, and supporting individuals providing treatment, family, friends, and the general community to broaden their understanding and ability to support individuals who have had these experiences. So I will have plenty of information in the show notes, links that you can get at for these websites, etc. But without further ado, let's meet Kelly Waterman. All right. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the Radical Therapist Podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here.
It's great to have you, and thank you for taking the time. And I guess I'm wondering if it would be okay if we started out by having you kind of share with our audience a bit about your background and how you found your way into the Hearing Voices Network.
Sure. Well, just briefly, I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I work as an American Sign Language interpreter. I live with my girlfriend and I. We share a home with a cat and a dog, and I identify as a butch woman. Mm-hmm. I'm a classically trained cellist, and I'm both a co-facilitator and a member of the Hearing Voices Twin Cities.
Great. And somehow how did you become aware of them, or how did you find your way into, or?
Well, I started to become aware of the Hearing Voices Network during a time of frustration that I was going through with a former therapist around a diagnosis that I was given. I was having ideas and experiences that did not fit the diagnosis or the prescribed therapeutic interventions for it. And my therapist was unwilling to explore these experiences. Mm. So I went searching on my own. Like many in the Hearing Voices Network, I stumbled upon a TED Talk given by Eleanor Longden in 2013 entitled The Voices in My Head. In this talk, she describes the harrowing experiences that she endured while seeking out help from professionals in the mental health field. I guess to summarize her talk briefly, it kind of goes like this. Although she had a history of sexual violence, the psychiatrist that she saw only focused on her present day, quote unquote, symptoms, and they never asked her about her history. Some of her symptoms included depression, anxiety, as well as hearing voices. But it was the hearing voices that the psychiatrist focused on, and it was this symptom that led them to diagnose her as schizophrenic. She was told that she had a mental illness and that something was chemically wrong with her brain. Her treatment was to be on antipsychotics for the rest of her life. And not once did they ask her why she might be depressed or anxious, or even why she heard voices. And the lack of inquiry into the part of her psychiatrist was astonishing.
I imagine that was somewhat similar to your own experience.
Yeah, definitely. Many of her experiences were similar to mine. And after watching her video, I knew that I was not alone. Not only was I not alone as a voice here, but what made the biggest impact on me was that I was not alone in my dissatisfaction of the mental health system.
Right.
Like her, I'd spent a lifetime of taking pills, cycling through various diagnoses, and enduring abuses and violence done to me by the mental health system, all under the guise of treatment. She ended her TED Talk by challenging the mental health system, employing them to ask not what is wrong with you, but to ask what happened to you.
Right.
Eleanor Longden since then has earned her doctorate in psychology, and she's become an internationally recognized scholar and researcher in the field of hearing voices. After watching her TED Talk, I felt completely and utterly emancipated. Watching her video led me to watch other videos, and then I started to read article after article after article about the Hearing Voices Network. And then I read book after book after book. And so basically I did a lot of reading, and that led me to the Hearing Voices Network.
What were some of the things you read that were helpful?
Well, one of the first books that I read was Agnes's Jacket, written by Dr. Gail Hornstein. Dr. Hornstein is a psychology professor and researcher at Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. And the first part of the book is about a woman named Agnes Richter, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, who was institutionalized in an asylum in Germany during the Victorian era. And it's a story about a woman who kept her own story alive before being confined to an asylum. She worked as a seamstress, and because the asylum, you know, at that time didn't provide their patients with paper or pencil or whatnot, she found a way to record her story, which was the most natural way that she could do. And what she ended up doing was that she actually sewed words into the like asylum uniform or jacket.
Wow.
That was given to her. Since then, some linguistic historians have been able to decipher some of her words and phrases that she sewed in. And some of them were, she writes, "I am not big. I wish to read. And I plunge headlong into disaster." So it was an incredible story of a woman who not only survived the troubles, her troubles, but also her experiences of her life in the asylum. Her embroidered jacket is considered to be one of the most iconic and historical accounts of a mental patient who narrated her own account of her experiences. It's an example of what we in the Hearing Voices Network refer to as expert by experience. Which I guess basically means for me is that the patient or client should ultimately be invited to the table of psychiatrists and therapists as an equal partner in the narration and formulation of their own recovery plan. So the second half of Agnes's jacket, the first half is about Agnes. The second half is about the Hearing Voices Network, which Dr. Hornstein was introduced to while working in the UK. This part of the book talks about the history of their Hearing Voices Network. It describes the story of people who hear voices or have other unusual experiences, have visions, and people who have found their own way through kind of the maze of their own minds and the maze of the mental health system, which, pardon me, includes things like diagnosis, hospitalization, medical treatments, ECT, psychiatric medications. This part of the book is the story of psychiatric survivors and about a psychiatrist and therapist who work together to start the Hearing Voices Network.
Wow, yeah.
It gives voice to the hope and the simple healing of, and power of human connection. It was a story that I had really ached to be a part of my entire life.
Wow. So did this this book inspire you then to seek out a Hearing Voices Network group near you? Or?
Yeah, definitely. After I read this book, I knew that I wanted to be a part of the Hearing Voices Network. But at that time, which is about 2017, when I started kind of reading all these books and stuff, there weren't any groups here in Minnesota. So I just read more books.
Right. Right.
But then in February of 2018, I learned that trainers from the Western Mass Recovery Learning Community, which is in Massachusetts, that's kind of where the Hearing Voices Network kind of landed in the United States. I learned that they were coming to Minnesota to provide training to become a facilitator.
Wow.
And also to learn how to set one up. So I guess I put all of my Norwegian sensibilities aside, which is extreme shyness and introversion, and I just kind of signed up and took the training.
That's great. Wonderful. Okay. As I understand it, Hearing Voices Network USA represents a partnership between individuals who hear voices or have other extreme or unusual experiences and professionals and allies in the community working together to change the assumptions made about these phenomena and create supports. And I guess, what has been your experience of this mission? What supports has the Hearing Voices Network provided you?
Let's see. The Hearing Voices Network that does partner with professionals and allies in the community, but not all groups do. Or to put it in another way, they don't have to.
Right. Okay.
Some groups are set up and offered in a clinical setting, like a hospital,
okay,
or a drop-in center. But some groups are totally self-autonomous from that. So there's no, you have to do it this way or not.
That's great. Yeah.
So the groups offer kind of like a non-pathologizing space. Right. We don't take attendance. We don't take clinical notes. Some of our members are referred to us by professionals, but it's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of run more like a self-help group. We don't offer any treatment modality. We value the use of ordinary language, curiosity, and we have an ethos of self-determination.
That's great.
One part of the Hearing Voices network that has had the biggest impact on me is that there's no assumption of an illness. Mm. Some frameworks were kind of like the why do you hear voices might be a framework of a connection to spirits or ancestors, sensory sensitivities, contact with aliens or other worlds, stress response to a chaotic environment, biological, which does include the biomedical idea that voices are caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain, or a framework of trauma.
Hmm. Is there a framework that you align with most closely? Or?
Yeah, I align most closely with the framework of trauma. Hmm. I've had a significant amount of trauma in my life. But yes, I understand my voices through the framework of trauma.
Hmm.
I'd say about 95% of my voices and the words that they speak and the metaphors that they use are all around the context of the abuse that I endured.
Hmm.
The other 5%, who knows?
Right.
Perhaps I ate a bit of an underdone potato as a child.
Right.
Another way to describe kind of the support that happens during a Hearing Voices group would be something like this.
Hmm.
If a person hears voices emanating from a computer, a psychiatrist would tell them that they had a chemical imbalance in their brain. They'd diagnose you with a mental illness and they'd give you a cocktail of antipsychotics.
Right.
A therapist will diagnose you with a mental illness, and then they might inundate you with emotional regulation worksheets and cognitive behavior therapy, or maybe some trauma therapy as well. But a fellow voice hearer might say stuff like, "Wow, what's that like for you?" This may then, you know, spark more conversations or request for help. It may lead to group members getting together outside of group to come over to your house and maybe perform a dissection on the computer, you know, to find the creepy guy who lives in there and talk to you.
That's great.
And that activity might lead to more conversation, more insight, perhaps even a bit of fun and laughter.
Yeah, nice.
So that's kind of a bit about what it's like to be in the group and to give and receive support. And so that kind of story about the computers emanating from the voices from a computer and the different responses is it just kind of brings up my point, is that in participating in the Hearing Voices Network, it promotes not only conversation about our individual experiences of hearing voices, but it also promotes a sense of community healing, which is done really in opposition of the mental health system,
right,
which, you know, is saturated in the myth that human suffering is an individual problem. that must be addressed in private offices of a psychiatrist or a therapist, or, you know, must be sequestered or out of sight within the confines of a hospital.
Right.
So the Hearing Voices Network and the weekly meeting that I attend, both as a co-facilitator and as a member, has provided me with an experience of communal healing, which is like intrinsically rooted to the societal abuses that we all experienced.
Right.
There's space in our meetings to talk about what happened to you. Oftentimes our conversations will revolve around the traumas of racism, misogyny, sexual assault, capitalism, and abuses that are perpetuated by the mental health system and other forms of discrimination.
Hmm.
We offer each other support through our experiences of violence and abuse that we have endured, and also support about our own experiences just of hearing voices. For example, someone might ask, you know, my voices are keeping me up at night. How do I deal with this? Or someone might say, my voices are screaming at me through the radio. And then another member might respond with a question like, what do you think they're trying to tell you? Or what is that experience like for you?
Hmm.
In contrast to this, we would never say, well, that's not real.
Right.
So, yes, there are times in the group when it's hard. Tears are shed. Stories that are told are harrowing. And sometimes being a voice here is just plain hard.
But
the majority of the time, I feel deeply honored to be a witness to the stories that I hear from the other group members. I'm honored to support them, and I'm lifted up by their support of me. And I now have a community. And from this community, I now have friends. So I guess I'm not reading so many books now. You read about, you know, liberation in books so much, right, but until you've experienced it in real life.
Right.
Definitely different, but books are good too.
Yeah.
So
what would you say is the most meaningful part?
I guess the most meaningful part for me is kind of the shifting paradigms that I'm learning about mental illness.
Mm.
And the nature of hearing voices. But the most meaningful part, I guess, that I leave with every week after group is more of the kind of simple and profound experience of being loved and cared for.
Wow, yeah.
And it's that love and caring which is an integral part of what I define as liberation.
Okay. I guess I'm going to be curious, because I know people listening this are probably wondering if someone is listening, is interested in getting a Hearing Voices Network group going in their community, how might they go about doing that?
Well, you could contact the Western Mass Recovery Learning Community, which I think is now called the Wildflower Alliance.
Okay.
And you want their website?
Sure. And then I will link it in my show notes as well.
Okay. They can be reached at Inquire About a Facilitator Training.
Okay. One more time. What was that website again? You went out.
Yeah. info@westernmassrlc.org.
Great.
But in the United States, actually the Hearing Voices Network is an international movement. They started in the Netherlands in the late 1980s and made their way to the UK, where it's very strong, and have many groups, like internationally, like in France, South America, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, like the Netherlands, I said, and they kind of landed or jumped the pond to the United States in, I think, about 2010. But anyway, so if you're looking for a group, there may already be a group in your community, whoever's listening. I think there's about 110 groups in the United States.
Great.
So yeah, there might be one in your state, wherever you, whoever's listening. You can go to the Hearing Voices USA website and get a listing of groups. They also offer two online groups that use the Zoom platform, and there's one Monday nights and Thursday nights. So that's a great resource for people who don't have a group in their state or community. Also, the Hearing Voices Network, the international group, is called Intervoice, and they have a annual World Congress meeting. This year it's happening in Montreal, Canada.
Not too far away from you.
Yeah, I guess so. Same type of weather.
Yeah, right.
That's happening in November of this year. That's another good resource. If you go to these various websites, there's so many links to great videos and books that people can read. There's been many, academics and whatnot who have done research in the Hearing Voices Network, and they have written many, many great papers and articles and books to read as well.
Right. And you also so kindly provided me with a list of some books and podcasts and websites and videos that I'll link in our show notes for this show.
Yeah.
So our listeners can access all of that too. So thank you for forwarding that to me as well. Before we end, I guess I have one final question. Is there anything else you'd like to add that we missed or I didn't cover?
Well, I hope I gave you a little taste of the Hearing Voices Network.
For sure, for sure.
Now that, I have this audience, of course I'd like to say a few more things.
Sure.
So thanks. I know that throughout some of this interview, I kind of hinted at a bit of frustration with the mental health system, perhaps a bit disparaging towards people like you who are therapists. And, perhaps.
Well deserved.
Yeah. And your listeners who may be therapists and clinicians.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to take this opportunity to maybe challenge your listeners a little bit more, and then offer them also a little bit of hope as well. So my challenge to you all, and this isn't necessarily a Hearing Voices Network thing, but it kind of is. My challenge to you all is to please stop diagnosing us. We all know the research out there, that has kind of proves that mental health diagnoses are neither reliable or valid. They're subjective, kind of a subjective interpretation of a subjective experience. And I know that many therapists, and I think including,
some of our listeners, right?
Right. Some of your listeners who do continue to use diagnostic labels. And they do that and they say, you know, because of insurance billing. And I do get this. I do know that you all need to be paid. You're human beings. You have bills to pay in your own life. You have a life, and money requires, you know, you need to get paid. I get that. but basically what becomes a kind of a simple form of payment for you can become a lifelong complexity for those of us who are diagnosed. We're given a diagnosis and then steered towards a prescribed mode of treatment. If we don't comply with that treatment, then somehow we're wrong. It kind of rips the, you know, it's more than just being given a label that it's difficult. It kind of rips our own self-autonomy from us. But also in addition to having a diagnosis on your record, it can have lasting impacts on your life as far as how you're treated, your employment, parental rights, housing. They can have basically a diagnosis can lead to real life problems of discrimination. I know that many therapists like you or your listeners, that you work diligently hard to change the systems of oppression that contribute to human suffering and, you know, therefore mental health issues or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I know that many of you are involved in challenging systems like racism, homophobia, anti-immigration policies, climate change, you know, everything and anything. I know that you do this work because you know that these things are linked to mental health outcomes. But I would like to challenge you all to learn more about how the mental health system itself can be a system of oppression. And one of those areas is to, you know, starts with a diagnostic label. I'd also kind of want to add a little bit more about that. This is still the bad part, so I'll get to the good part. you know, sometimes having a diagnosis, it kind of colludes with some of the experiences in your life, like sexual violence. This is one thing that I'm very interested in, how the experiences of sexual violence and the experiences of mental health treatment kind of collude and go back and forth with each other. So like in sexual violence, you're an object. In the mental health system, you become a diagnosis. In sexual violence, your reality is denied. No one believes you. In the mental health system, they don't necessarily believe your perspective. In the sexual abuse, of course, some abuse involves, you know, extreme violence of restraints, isolation, psychological abuse, penetration, torture, kind of a loss of your own mental, emotional, and bodily autonomy. And on the flip side, some of the quote-unquote treatments in the mental health system are kind of the same. They do violent things. They restrain us. They give us forced medication. They inject us forcefully. They put us in isolation. They put us in restraints. We end up having a a loss of our mental, emotional, and bodily autonomy. So it's kind of I'm interested in how the two experiences kind of cross each other. Along with that, it's you know, with the whole diagnostic system, it's like your problem is like not that you're suffering because you're raped, but you're suffering because you have borderline personality disorder or DID or schizophrenia or whatever that, or, you know, you're not suffering because the world is perhaps overwhelming, but you're suffering because you have a chemical imbalance or you're neurobiologically defective or whatnot. So I'm very interested personally in how some of the experiences of abuses kind of cross over into mental health treatment. So that's kind of the harsh stuff.
Yeah, I hope you, powerful. You know. And thank you for your challenge.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll let you guys figure out how you're going to do that.
We got work to do.
Yeah. So my hope that I wanted to leave you all with, and I hope it is helpful. When I started this interview here, I mentioned, you know, about the impetus of me getting into the Hearing Voices Network, which was born kind of through dissatisfaction with my former therapist, who was kind of unwilling and perhaps unable to work kind of outside of the diagnostic label and treatment modality that was given to me. But I wanted to report that I've since found a new therapist, and she's a narrative therapist. So I'm learning all about narrative therapy and all of the post psychology and post whatever it is that you guys do. It's very exciting to me. It's very meaningful and very liberating for me. My new therapist is very talented, and I'm very lucky to be working with her and learning all about narrative therapy. So thank you, therapist, for whatever you do, develop narrative therapy. her and I are kind of currently working on my newest diagnosis, which is PCB TTSD, as you know, is post-cognitive behavior therapy traumatic stress disorder. And the symptoms include kind of a dullness of creativity and intellect, thought regulation, and an extreme sense of wrongness. So I'm very happy to be embarking on getting rid of this particular diagnosis that I have. But my last bit of hope that I wanted to offer you and your listeners is to just say a little bit about how this podcast came to be about. I contacted you, Chris, several months ago after just kind of stumbling upon your podcast and listening to a few. And you always say, you know, if you have any ideas, feel free to email me. And so lo and behold, I did. And I said, you know, why don't you do a podcast about psychosis or about the Hearing Voices Network? I even offered you, you know, a nationally known therapist who's connected with the Hearing Voices Network and does therapy with people with psychosis or hearing voices. And so, you know, I gave you a name of a professional and you emailed me back and you said something like, well, the Hearing Voices Network is a peer led organization, so why don't I interview you? I was so surprised by that. I'm not a professional. I haven't written any books. I don't have a PhD. I'm just, you know, I'm just a person who hears voices from Minnesota. So then I thought more about this, and I thought about your podcast, which you call The Radical Therapist, and, you know, listen to several of your podcasts. And then I kind of thought about my own definition of what a radical therapist is. And so far, this is my definition. A radical therapist is a therapist who listens to their clients, who sets up a chair at the table with them so that they can work in collaboration. A radical therapist is a therapist who has a podcast and creates space at the table of their podcast to invite you to come and share a bit about your story. A radical therapist is not necessarily a radical therapist because they are post-psychology or all those other post things. From my perspective, a radical therapist is a therapist who listens to their clients. So I hope that is a bit of hope for you. And you, Chris, you are a radical therapist. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Kelly. I'm going to get emotional.
Yeah. Well,
I love your definition of a radical therapist. I think I want to put that everywhere.
Well, thank you. And I hope, you know, there's so much to say about the Hearing Voices Network. And I hope I just gave you and your listeners a little bit of a taste, so that you'll read some books and learn about this. It's a wonderful thing. It's changed my life in many, many ways.
Thank you, Kelly. And you did a wonderful job of educating us all and sharing about your experience with the Hearing Voices Network. And I'm
well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for this opportunity to speak with you and get the information about out there about the Hearing Voices Network. I'm very honored. Thank you so much.
Well, that's our show. And thank you, Kelly, again for making the time, coming on and sharing your experience with us all, and so valuable. And I hope everybody listening really enjoyed that as much as I did. So thank you, Kelly. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Listeners, come find me on the social medias, The Radical Therapist on Instagram, The Radical Therapist on Facebook, The Rad Therapist on Twitter, and we have a website, et cetera, et cetera. And if you'd be so kind, it would be really great if you could go rate and review the show on iTunes. They tell me that's how we get out in front of people. So that would be great if you could take a moment, if you're listening to us right now. Just go tap a review or something. That would be awesome. Anyway, and I have stickers, and I actually have a few shirts. So if you want a sticker or shirt, reach out to me and shoot me an email, theradicaltherapist@gmail.com, and I should be able to get something out to you. So I think that's it. As always, thanks for listening. My name is Chris Hoff, and this has been the Radical Therapist Podcast. Thank you.